nanotechnology.
Light up your night with the Kevin Smith Show. Hi, this is Kevin Smith. Join me Monday through Friday right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.
Hello, everyone. I'm psychic medium Christopher George, and this is my new show, Insight. It's an hour of psychic talk, guidance, and connections. I'll try to help you find answers in a world full of questions. This will be a very interactive show, and I invite you to call in for a reading or to discuss any psychic-related question. The call-in number is 504-273-7379.
Hi, everyone. I'm psychic medium Christopher George, and you're listening to my new show, Insight. We'll be discussing everything psychic, anything psychic. If you feel like you have something you want to talk about in the psychic world, you feel like you have some type of psychic ability, call in, we'll talk about it. I want to hear your story. Maybe we can figure out some things. Any events that have happened in your life that has some type of metaphysical aspect to it, call in. So many people have things that they can't explain that happened to them. On this show, we will try to get the answers to all of your questions. And if I don't know the answers, I'll try and find them out for you. I will also be taking live calls for readings during the show. The only rule I have is that you need to be real. Nothing is taboo on the show, and there's really nothing that I won't. The call-in number for the show is 504-273-7379. And the website is www.secondsightnyc.com. Today we're going to be talking a little bit about spirit attachments. I get inboxes and emails every single day. People want to talk about spirit attachments. Even on my other show that I co-host with Stephanie, Second Sight, you know, even on the comments that we get on our regular shows, people say, Chris, you know, could you guys do a show on spirit attachments? And we will be doing a whole show on spirit attachments soon, but for now we'll just talk about it a little bit on this show. And on the line I have Cindy. Cindy is somebody who called me about a week ago, and she started telling me a little story that's been going on in her life about her son, who she feels has a spirit attachment, a demonic spirit attachment at that. So, Cindy, are you on the line with us?
Yes, I am.
All right, Cindy. Well, thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. And why don't you let us know the story about what's going on with your son?
It started about 15 months ago, and he was living with another family member, and he would wake up a black image moving from his bed, going through hallways and two other rooms, and it just started off as antagonizing him. And he didn't know what it was, and when he moved back home, it apparently was still attached to him, which it did again. It came into my home.
So the spirit followed him from home to home?
Oh, yes, it did.
Okay, now, just so you know, a lot of times that's not very common. A lot of times spirit will stay in a particular area, so that's why I know that it's definitely an attachment, because only an attachment is really going to follow you from place to place. So go ahead.
Well, things got bad, and his attitude really changed for the worst. He was just acting up all the way around on anything. He moved in with his grandmother thinking he can get away with it. And, you know, away from it is what I'm trying to say. And it followed. And so he came over to the house and he says, there's something wrong. And my mother saw a black spinning orb behind me just spinning out of control really fast. And all of a sudden...
A black orb, you said?
Yes.
And you saw this with your naked eye?
Yes.
Okay, that's interesting. I mean, I've only seen that a couple times, actually. And your son acknowledged the fact that he believed that there's some type of attachment?
Yes, he does.
And how old did you say he was, 18?
He's 19.
19. And just so you know, it's very rare for 18, 19, 20-year-old males to actually come out and say, you know, I feel like that there's something attached to me. So that's a telltale sign also. Okay, go ahead.
Right after that, a lot of negativity just surrounded the whole family, the household. anywhere you went or whoever you talked to, there was just lashing out everywhere. I began to start saging and taught him how to sage, and things have decreased, but it's not gone.
Okay, well, if you've ever listened to the other show, Second Sight, I've spoken many, many, many times about sage. Sage is good. It's very shamanic in nature, and as far as I'm concerned, it's more of a band-aid than an actual fix. Sage cleanses on one level, so that's why, you know, you say things get slightly better. That they should get slightly better because the sage cleanses on, you know, the first level of spirit activity. To get a little deeper into protection, there are other things you need to do, which we'll get into. Okay, but go ahead.
After I taught him how to sage yourself, sometimes it works, and other days it's just like right back, and he feels it. He feels it attached to him. He feels the anger coming through him, the negativity coming through him. I mean, thoughts that he doesn't normally think about. So that's how it's just jumping back and forth.
Okay. And how often does he go through these little episodes where he feels that it's attached to him? It's not constant, is it?
No, it ain't constant. It ain't constant at all. It's probably happened that I know of that he came to me about 3 times.
Okay. Now, when we spoke, you mentioned that you thought it was demonic. Now, I just want people to know, I've been doing this a very, very long time, and I've traveled all over the place dealing with situations like this, and I've done many exorcisms, too many to count, and in all my time doing this, I've only encountered what I would deem demonic 3 times, maybe 4, but only 3 times. So when somebody tells me it's demonic, immediately I have to say, okay, could it possibly really be demonic? Because it's very rare. Demonic is very, very rare. Why do you believe that it's demonic?
The last episode he had, again, he was back at grandmother's, and he said to look him up, and he woke up, he looked down, and there were scratches going down the front of his chest.
So he had scratches?
Mm-hmm. Sure did.
Okay, well, go ahead.
And he flares up and down. I mean, he was in tears. Mom, we were there the night before. He showered. He knows if they were there or not. And he says, now look at me. So that's how that happened.
Okay. Now, before we go on, what I did was I wrote up a little list of telltale signs of if you might have some type of spirit attachment, okay? So I just want you to listen to this, and I want you to notice that some of the things I'm going to say you've mentioned, so that list helps me decide whether there possibly is some type of spirit attachment. And just for the record, I do believe your son has some type of attachment. All right, first, the feeling tired and depleted of energy, very, very much so a telltale sign. Suffering mood swings and impulsive behavior. Unexplained bursts of anger, sadness, emotion. I think you've said all those things already. Hearing inner voices, a feeling that this isn't me. That's very common. And in most of the spirit attachments that I've dealt with over the years, that's something that pretty much every person has ever said to me. I just feel like that this isn't me. Do you ever wonder, did I say that? Did I really do that? You know, you're starting to do things that you wouldn't normally do and say things that you wouldn't normally say. That's another sign. Problems with addiction, and I'm going to get into addiction in a second because that's a big part of any attachment. Okay, poor memory, concentration, or confusion. A lot of times, confused part of spirit attachment, and I call that a demon of confusion. And is it an actual demon? No, it's not a real demon. It's just a term that I use, you know, to describe what people are going through. Anxiety, depression, physical problems where you really shouldn't have any pain at all and there's no obvious cause for the pain. That's another telltale sign, like pain in the legs especially. I don't know why it is, but in a lot of the cases that I've dealt with, people have always felt pains in their legs. And why it is, I don't know. It's just something that it just seems to happen. unexplained fears, phobias, and panic attacks, bad nightmares. And let me tell you something. If you're reacting to this list with emotion, you know, that surprises you, you know, should that surprise you? No, it shouldn't, because these are little telltale signs of attachment. Feeling that you're being watched or experiencing unexplained sensations like bad smells, a distortion of place, especially the smells. A lot of times attachments have smells attached to them. You have a feeling of being of uneasiness, cold areas in your home, or a sense of another presence, nobody else is around. I mean, that's kind of obvious. You know, the feeling of depression around you, and it just doesn't make sense. You know, things are going, you know, decent in your life, but you're still depressed. That's a very big telltale sign. Now, sharp little pricks in your legs, your hands, and your arms. That, going back to the whole leg thing, and people who have attachments have problems with their legs. They feel like little pinchy sensations over their bodies often. The thought of having a phantom lover, big time sign that there's some type of attachment. I've dealt with that quite a few times. The feeling that something is crawling under your skin, horrible, nasty thoughts, the feeling that you want to end your life, unexplained depression, fatigue, mood changes, uncharacteristic changes in personality and behavior, panic attacks, unexplained bursts of anger, sadness, emotion. These are all telltale signs of attachments, and if you think about it, in the short time that you were speaking to me, there's a bunch of these things.
Yes, I did.
So,
today I had a new one.
Today you had a new one, and what was that?
He was running me up to the store in his car, and he just looks at me with his evil-looking face, and he just starts spinning his tires out of control. And I told him, I said, you're going to stop this car, or you're not going to be driving it no more, because I'm not going to deal with this. And he laughed at me, and he says, I don't want you in my car anyway. And I went, that's not my son.
Right, that's not your son, and he's saying, this isn't me, another telltale sign. You know, see, the problem with attachment is it could just be something that kind of antagonizes you, that just kind of lingers, and then it could take the next step, which I kind of feel is what's happening with your son. It's taking that next step. The attachment seems to be getting stronger. Him bursting out of you, doing crazy things, you know, unlike things that he would normally do, that's bad. The smells coming around him, and I feel psychically what I get is that he has been having smells around him, and I want you to ask him that. I don't know if you've asked him that yet, but this is something that I'm picking up psychically, that there's a lot of like foul odors around him. It has nothing to do with him. It just has to do with the attachment that's going on with him. So let me ask you something. Most people that have attachments, there's usually some type of addiction, whether it be alcohol, whether it be drugs, whether it be addictive behavior. It doesn't have to be alcohol or drugs. It could be, you know, addicted to sex. It could be any type of addiction that weakens your person. Anxiety, people taking medications for anxiety and stress makes it very, very easy for negative spirits to attach. Does he have any of these things going on in his life right now?
Well, he does.
He does.
He does.
Is it a...
That, yeah.
Okay.
And he likes to drink.
Okay, well, see, now what happens is when you drink and you're doing drugs, your resistance is low. And
yeah,
that makes it so easy for spirit to attach. You know, a lot of people don't believe in spirit attachments. You know, I'm sure that there's people listening to the show right now saying, Chris, you know, you're full of shit. What are you talking about? You know, there's no such thing as spirits attaching to people. There's no such thing as possession. And you know what? you keep thinking like that. And you know, God willing, nothing ever attaches to you. But I see it every day. And, you know, are most attachments bad? No, I mean, they're easily taken care of if you know what you're doing. But then again, there are attachments that get a lot worse than what they should be. And the problem with your son is I feel like that's the direction that it's going in. What have you done to this point to work with him?
To work with him, I did a lot of talking, a lot of counseling with him. I lit up white candles. I told him what to do with the white candle, and pretty much the sage thing. That's about it. Other than that, it's like sometimes if I even mention it, he just walks away.
What he needs is another voice. Are you the only voice he's hearing on this?
Yes.
Okay, see, and that's a problem because you're the mom, and it's much easier for somebody to listen to somebody that they're not so close with because they take you for granted. They take advantage of you. You know, they take your kindness for weakness. They use, you know, your love against you, and a lot of times it's not them. It is the attachment. What you should do is have them give me a call and let me talk to him. Maybe a different voice will help. And then you have to do the little things to help with the spirit attachment. Like you're using sage. Again, sage is good on a certain level, but it's not the best. I use orange peel. People hear me say orange peel, they're like, orange peel, well, what could that do? What people don't know is orange peel is one of the most yang things in the world, okay? It is a shamanic ritual. You dry out the orange peel, you scoop out the white from the peel until you just have the orange. You put it on maybe your windowsill or to dry it out, get it nice and hard. And you do the same thing with the orange peel as you would with the sage. You do a smudging of yourself. You bring the smoke all around you, you breathe it in, and it's important to breathe it in because not only do you want to cleanse your area around you, you want to cleanse yourself too. Okay?
Right.
And the orange peel does amazing, amazing things. When I do an exorcism, I use sage. I always use sage because I do want to cleanse on that level, but I always bring the orange peel to smudge on a higher level. Why? Because it works. And I know it works because this is what I do. I mean, I use church incense, I use dragon's blood, sweet grass, all that stuff is all good. Especially the church incense. It's all good stuff. But nothing's as good as orange peel, and I know this from experience. Okay? So that's something that you need to start doing with him, orange peel. Okay, and for everybody out there who's listening to the show right now, that's something you should do every day, you know, in your lives, because here in the house, you know, maybe once a week I bust out the orange peel and we just go throughout the house and smudge the home, and it just keeps it nice and pure and it keeps the negativity out. It's a negativity cleanser. And it works, and until you try it. And what I want you to do is I want you to try it. And then you're going to call me back, and you're going to let me know what type of results you're getting from just that. Okay?
Okay.
So what else have you done with him?
That is about it. I did do one thing, is I called on the angels to come down and help. That's the only other thing that I've done, because, like I said, he goes.
Now, when you call on the angels, who are you calling on specifically? Because there are specific angels that you should call on when dealing with attachments. Who are you calling on?
Archangel Michael.
Okay, is that it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, what I want you to start doing is I want you to start using Raphael also, because Archangel Raphael is a great healer. And what you want to do is you want to protect your son with Archangel Michael, but you also want to heal him with Archangel Raphael. And Archangel Raphael comes through with a very, very powerful energy. You'll get the feeling of warmth when you call on Archangel Raphael. You'll get a feeling of power when you call on Archangel Michael. Now, when you call on both of them together, the energy that comes through is massive, especially if you do it properly, especially if your mindset is that where, you know, you honestly need the help and you are truly calling on them with best intentions, and, you know, you're strong with them and honest with them, saying, I need your help. Please help my son. These are little things that you have to do. You have to be very, very honest and very open with the spirits, with the angels, when you ask them for help, okay? Then they will help. Listen, the truth of the matter is, if all these little things fail, then you have to take the next step. And, you know, we've spoken about this. You know what the next step is.
Yes, it is.
And that's where the problem comes in, because honestly, I have a feeling that's where this is going, especially because your son is only 19, especially because he's probably very hard-headed. Am I right when I say that? Yeah. You know, he knows it all. He knows more than you. And am I right when I say this?
Oh, yes, you are.
Well, that's typical of a teenager. You know, I'm not saying anything mind-blowing here. This is just, you know, because I know teenagers. That has nothing to do with psychic ability. The thing is, he's got to get out of that mindset that he knows it all, because when it comes to spirit attachment, he doesn't know jack. You have an idea of what's going on with spirit attachment. He doesn't. He needs to talk to somebody outside his box, outside his comfort area. He needs to get a different voice, a different perspective. He needs to get different ideas on how to deal with this, because until he does, I just have a feeling it's only going to get worse. And it might even still get worse even after talking with me. You know, I'm not God. There's only so much I can do over the phone. If I was in front of him and I could do what I do, that would be a whole other story. But where do you live? Are you in Texas?
Yes, I am.
You're in Texas, I'm in New York. I mean, you know, there are people that believe in remote healing, and I do believe in remote healing, but not remote spirit attachment or spirit removal, okay? Yeah, there are a lot of people that believe in that. We've actually had people on our show on site talking about remote spirit removal, and I basically told them that they're full of shit because I don't believe in it. I know what it takes to remove a spirit, and it is very intense, and anybody who says they could do it over the phone or they could do it, you know, just by putting it out there to the universe, you know, they're living in la-la land. It doesn't work. It never has worked. It never ever will work. So anybody who tells you that, you know, basically you tell them, yeah, see you later, have a nice day. I don't, you know, because they don't know what they're talking about. So basically, I guess what I want to leave you with, Cindy, is have your son give me a call. Let me talk to him. Let me get a little feeling for exactly what he's going through. I want to hear his words, because through his words, you know, I'll pick up on his energy. And it's a little bit different of, excuse me, it's a little bit different when you're talking about what's going on with your son and what you perceive as opposed to what's actually going on in his mind. Because there might be certain things that he's not telling you, okay, that would help me to pinpoint things a little bit, you know, a little bit better. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well, all right, Cindy. Well, I hope I helped you a little bit.
Yeah, great deal. Thank you.
You know my phone number. Keep in touch, and then let me know what's going on, and any way I can help you, you know I'll always be there to help you.
Thank you very much.
All right, you have a great night.
Me too.
Okay. Do we have anybody in the queue, Steph?
I believe we do. Hi, everyone. Stephanie here. Joe, if you're there, if there's someone in the queue, you can put them through.
Hello, Cole, are you with us?
Yeah. Chris, this is Cop. How are you?
How are you, Cop? What's going on, buddy?
Yeah, okay.
Hi, Cop.
Hey. How you doing, Steph?
I'm good.
All right, so what's going on with you, Cop? What's your question?
My question is, can you give me any insight on my... He's 94 years old,
okay.
And he's totally dying. This is what he says. And then I see him, I joke around with him, keep this energy up. You know, he's a man, he don't come out and say things. And I like to be...
He holds things in, he doesn't let you know how bad things are, but he will say that he feels that he's dying.
Yes.
Yeah. And what do you think?
He's losing his eyesight slowly. He's forgetting a few things I see.
Okay. Those are little things, but the fact of the matter is I don't see him going anywhere anytime soon. Okay? Sometimes people lose the will to live. I don't believe he's lost the will to live. I think he likes to hear himself talk sometimes, and you can verify that, you know, if you want. I don't think he's going anywhere. A lot of little ailments, yes, but the fact that, you know, he thinks he's dying, I don't think he's going anywhere anytime soon. I need to throw that out there at you. And when I say that, for the next year, I absolutely see him being around. So, yeah, he might be busting your chops, he might drive you crazy, But
your dad.
You know, and I would rather your dad drive you crazy than not be around, and that's exactly what I believe is going to happen.
Because he gives me the test every time I see him. Like, he was a big boarder, construction, and he gives me 100 questions. I better not get one wrong, okay? That's just part of his method. His other thing, he had a little stroke where it's one of his right hand, he can't write with his right hand. And this, well, I'm looking at different things. But I try, when I come and see him, I bring him seafood, I cheer him up, and off he goes. He talks about the good old days or World War II as a pilot or whatever he did.
Cobb, I don't mean to cut you off. He is very, very aware of what's going on around him, correct?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, he hasn't lost that part of him yet. Right? Because a lot of times, you said he's 94, a lot of times, you know, people in their 90s start losing their faculties, they start, you know, being confused and whatnot, but I'm not getting that feeling with him. Am I right when I say that?
Well, you're right. He'll forget a few things, like, you know, we all can't remember 100%.
Well, geez, I'm 43 years old, and I forget what I eat for dinner tonight.
Yeah, I agree with that. But he does forget certain things. Like, he'll forget pay a bill, or did I write this check, or, you know, odd dimensions like this.
Okay. That's minor stuff. That's minor stuff. I mean, you know, when I say he has his faculties, I mean, he could hold a complete conversation with you without losing his train of thought. He remembers things very, very easily, like they happened yesterday, kind of like he did, you know, 20 years ago. Those are things that are telling me that he's going to be around for quite some time. I'm not worried about him going anywhere at all.
Well, that's good. You know, I like to be mentally prepared and physically prepared just in case, you know, like that.
You know,
Chris, for taking my call.
Well, don't go yet. I just want to say something. You know, I just want you to know, I'm not here to blow smoke up your butt or anything. You know, if I thought that something bad was coming, I would let you know, because I respect you, and you're in the chat room, and you as well as everybody who calls me, I'm going to give it to you like I get it. And just so you know, I had somebody who listens to the show call me up after the show one night and had a nice conversation with me and about his dad, and I told him I felt like he was going to pass, you know, within the month and whatnot, and he did. So if I felt that something like that was going to happen, I would let you know. So I just want to leave you with that. I don't want you to think that I'm telling you that he's going to be around for quite some time, you know, just because I like you and I appreciate the fact that you listen to the show. It has nothing to do with that. Okay, I'm giving to you what Spirit is giving to me, and that is that your dad's going to be around for some time. So,
thank you for the information on that. Chris, I got one more thing that's been bothering me. Maybe you can give me an answer for it. My sister had a 120-pound rot right near me about a year and a half ago in the kitchen. 1 o'clock in the morning, she was sleeping. She raised her head, like looking at me, but she wasn't looking at me. She was looking like next to me, but behind me. And I looked at her face. I put my hand near her eye. She did not blink. She did not move. 10 minutes later, she snapped too. Was she looking at something?
Let me tell you something. You have a lot of Native American spirit around you, okay? You're very much protected. You're very much looked after by Native American spirit. I mean, you know it. I know it. Anybody who knows you knows this, okay? You have spirit all around you, and animals sense this, you know? And the fact that this animal is staring through you and then really not paying attention to what's going on, paying attention to something else that you can't see, I'm willing to bet that you felt something when this dog was looking at whatever it was looking at, correct?
Yes, behind me. I was leaning up. I was sitting next to a knee-high wall facing toward a TV in the kitchen where I can swing around and look above the wall, but I did not do that. But I did feel some kind of coldness, like go through the wall. I thought it was the air condition because she has central air on the floor. But I don't think it was. like the dog is staring, right, like dreaming. And I put my hand next to her eyes, and she did not blink. She did not move her head. And I'd say 10 minutes later, she snapped too.
That's very, very common. And, you know, just so you know, not all animals are very sensitive to spirit. You know, people say all animals are sensitive to spirit. That's a bunch of baloney. You know, Stephanie has two dogs. I don't believe that they're very sensitive to spirit at all. I mean, they're a spirit walking around here all the time, and they don't acknowledge it. Maybe they don't care about it. I don't know, but they don't acknowledge it. Whereas other animals are very sensitive, and it's very selective with the animals. Obviously, that's an animal that's very connected to spirit, so that's a cool thing.
So in this case, this dog followed me anywhere in the house. When I went outside, she hit the door, followed me outside, down the street. Anywhere I went, she was behind me. When my sister went to call her in, she wouldn't come. I would say, come on, princess, let's go. And she'd follow me in the house.
Well, you're like the dog whisperer. What do you want me to tell you?
Well,
Cop, listen, I thank you so much for calling, and I always look forward to your calls every month, and I appreciate it, and thank you very much. I hope I was able to help you a little bit.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chris.
Awesome.
Have a good day.
Good night, Cop.
Bye, Steph.
All right, Steph, do we have another caller yet?
I don't know if there's anyone else on the line, but you do have some questions.
Oh, yeah, we got... I'll tell you what, this past month, so many people sent in questions for me to answer on the show that I was overwhelmed. I picked like five or six of them to put on the agenda for tonight. I don't know that we're going to get to all of them, but so many questions, and I appreciate that. And if you people have questions that you want to ask me, anything, I don't care what it is, send them in. You can send them into my fan page, which is Psychic Medium Christopher George. You can send them to Second Sight NYC. You can send them to Steph and Chris Second Sight on Facebook. All these different ways to get in touch with me. Send me your questions, and I will put them on the agenda, and I will answer them. And if I don't get to them that show, I'll get to them the next show. So go ahead, Steph. Give me one of the questions.
Okay, one of the questions.
You know what, give me the one from Bill, because Bill is a listener of all of our shows and really good guy, and I'd like to answer that question for him.
Okay, this is from Bill. Having never attended a true seance before, Chris, are you as a medium generally extremely drained once it's finished? Is this draining similar to doing people's readings as well?
Okay, that's a great question, and I get asked that a lot. When I do a seance, time seems to stand still for me. There is no time. I go into trance. When I come out, I feel as though I've just closed my eyes and opened my eyes. I have no sense of time during this actual seance, where many times when I come out of the trance, I'll say, how long was it? And people will tell me an hour and a half, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever it is. Right after the seance, I have an energetic high, and that high usually lasts anywhere from 45 minutes to maybe an hour and a half. After that time is done, I crash really, really hard, and you know, especially if I go places to do a seance, maybe an hour, 2 hours away, I always have to make sure somebody's there with me to drive me home, because there's no way I could drive after that. I just get so drained that I would just fall asleep at the wheel. When I give readings, now, you know, a lot of psychics always say, I can't read more than five people, or I can't read more than 10 people, I'm so drained and, you know, whatever. That really doesn't happen for me, Bill. I did a party one time where I was doing quick 5 minute readings, and, you know, whether I do a 5 minute reading or a 20 minute reading or a half hour reading, it's all the same to me. And I did about 40 or 45 of these 5 minute readings. By the time I got to like the 30th one, I started getting tired, psychically tired, where the messages that were coming in were kind of muddled. But it's a different kind of tired. It's more, when I give a reading, I get psychically tired, where I'm just not comprehending the messages that come in as clear if I'm doing a lot of them. Whereas with the seance, I get physically very exhausted after I come down off my high. So, I mean, that would be the best way I can answer that. I hope that answered your question. Do we have another question there?
Yes, we do. We have one from Allison.
Okay.
Why do I need a medium to communicate with a loved one? Can't I just do it myself?
Yeah, that's a great question, and the answer is yes, you can, but you have to learn how to do it. That's why I teach psychic development classes, Allison, and I teach people how to get messages for themselves. And there's a bunch of ways you can do it. The best thing that you can do to learn how to get messages for yourself is learn how to meditate. You know, people say, "Oh, the dreamy type people, the metaphysical type people, the new age people." You know what? I used to think the same way. And years ago, there was a woman who kind of took me under her wing, and she's been a psychic for many, many years, and I consider her to be one of the great psychics of our time. Someone that nobody knows. You know, she's a neighborhood psychic, but she is better than anybody that I know on television, okay? And she took me under her wing maybe, I don't know, 12 years ago, whatever it was. I think it was like 2001 when she took me under her wing. And she started teaching me, and she said to me, "You know, Chris, you're so good at what you do, but you can be so much better if you meditate." And I was like, "Barbara, you know, meditating isn't for me. It's, you know, I don't meditate." And she said, "You know what? You're doing yourself a disservice. You get messages now. If you meditate and learn how to open your mind and open yourself up to the possibilities of what could be, you know, you'd be so surprised at the messages that come in after you meditate." So I said, "You know what? Let me try this." And I started to meditate. And I had a hard time at first meditating. I didn't know how to meditate. I would fall asleep. And, you know, that's not meditating. That's sleeping. But once I learned how to actually meditate, I'll tell you what. My psychic ability went from one level, and it just jerks level. So my suggestion to people who want to learn how to connect with spirit is, first thing, learn how to meditate. It's very important. It opens your mind. It grounds you. You get in that sacred space in your mind and your body and all around you, and you need to get into that space to make contact with spirit. And another thing you need to do is you need to ask. You need to talk to spirit continuously. A great time to do that is at night when you're lying in bed and you clear your mind. And a good way to clear your mind is to imagine your mind like a blackboard with chalk, with writing on it. And in your mind's eye, see yourself grabbing like a sponge and dipping it in a bucket of water and wiping that blackboard clean. And when you wipe that blackboard clean, it's wet. And that symbolizes that your mind is clear, okay? And that's a good way to start. Clear your mind and just start talking to spirit. And listen to what comes in. You know, don't question what's in your head. See, that's a big problem with people when they try to communicate with spirit. And I see this all the time when I do psychic development classes. You know, they're like, "I don't know if that's my mind or if that's spirit coming through." If you say that, it's your mind, okay? Don't worry about what you think. Let thoughts come into your head, write them down. Write them down, okay? Everything that comes into your head, write it down. And see what comes through from it. You know, you'd be surprised at the messages that you'll get. That's a very good way to learn how to start to talk with spirit. Before you go to bed at night, tell spirit you want them to come visit you in your dreams. Not that you want to dream about them, you want them to visit you. It's very important to say visit. And thank them. Always thank spirit, whether they come or not. Always thank them. You have to be very respectful to spirit. Talk to them. Talk. Sit down in a chair, clear your mind, ground yourself, and just talk and see what comes in. I promise you, you will be surprised at messages that you will get. But the thing is, you cannot question. Okay? The second you start questioning yourself, you know you're not getting messages from spirit. You're getting messages from your own head. Okay? When we do psychic development classes, I tell people, "I want you to tell me the first thing that comes to your mind when you're trying to talk to spirit. I don't care if it's peanut butter and jelly. To you, that might sound absolutely ridiculous. But to somebody in that room, that might have great meaning." So never question what comes into your head. And this is something that I had to learn, really. I mean, I really had to come to grips with the fact that sometimes crazy things were coming into my head before I learned how to really control it. And say to myself, do I really want to say that? And the answer is yes. You have to say it because you don't want to alter what's coming in. You know, you have to show spirit respect. And by showing spirit respect, meaning give the message that they're giving you. Don't change the message. Give the message. Whatever comes into your head is what you throw out there. And those are little ways that you can learn to actually start to speak with spirit. Another thing you can do is candle magic. Scribe candles. Put your energy into the candles and use that as a way to communicate with spirit. It's a great technique. You know, you light the candle and you call on your angels, you call on your spirits, and you ask questions using the flame of the candle. This is a technique that's gone back thousands and thousands and thousands of years. You know, you say something like, spirit here, I want the flame to move to the left, or I want the flame to move to the right, or towards me, or away from me. And you'll be surprised. Sometimes it won't work, but there will be times that it will absolutely blow you away. You know, one time we did this big investigation at Bailey Seton Psychiatric Hospital, and we had four people holding four candles, okay? To make one candle move is awesome in itself, but to make four candles move in unison is unbelievable. And people were like, nah, this technique can't work. And I said, listen to me, let's try it. You might be right, it might not work, but it's worked many times for me, so let's try it. And what we did was we had four people hold candles, and there was maybe 30 of us at this investigation. We were putting on, you know, I was teaching people how to paranormal investigate, and I would say, I feel that there's a spirit here named whatever, Vincent. If there is, make the third candle go to the left. And I'll be damned if that third candle did. Stephanie, you were there. I mean, you could verify this. It was an amazing, amazing night.
Yes, it was.
You know, and that's a way to communicate with spirit. That night and that technique resonated with so many people that maybe 7, 8, 9, 10 of them, I don't even remember, called me up, you know, a week, 2 weeks, a month later saying, Chris, you know, ever since, you know, you taught us that little candle technique, I've been doing it, and wow, I've been talking with spirit in my home, and it's amazing, and you know what, it's just one technique. You know, learn all the techniques, there are many of them. I mean, that's just one, and that's something that you people should try, because it does work, and it will surprise you.
I just want to remind people you can call in to the station. It's 504-273-7379 if you have a question for Chris that you'd like answered. We have about 15 minutes or so, but we do have some other questions here to get
to. Yeah, bust them out, bust them out. Right. I mean, this is what this show's about. You know, Steph, I tell everybody, I do promotions for the show. I tell them, you know, this isn't a show about me, it's a show about the people, because you know, people need answers to their questions, and I say it all the time. The show is about giving answers, and if I don't know the answer, I'll find it out. So, you know, I love people sending me in these questions, and listen, I hope I help people with my answers.
Okay, we have a caller in the queue right now.
Okay.
So, Joe, you can put them through, please.
Hello, caller, you with us?
Hey, this is your fan over here in Honolulu calling in.
Missy from Honolulu, how are you?
I'm good.
Okay. Hi to Stephanie. Stephanie's on the line with me too.
Hello.
I told her.
Hello, Stephanie.
About how you make me laugh when I give you readings. And just so everybody knows, I've given Missy maybe three or four readings. I've given her husband a reading. She's from Hawaii. Really nice woman. As you can tell, she's a live wire. And let's see what she's up to tonight.
Yes, thank you for taking my call last month. That was totally crazy.
Well, did I give you a good reading? You better say
you
yes.
You did. I had set up a reading, and like 3 minutes after, like 5 minutes after, I found out my dad died. So it was pretty
right.
crazy. Yeah,
right.
What a crazy experience in that call. Wow.
Yeah, well, my pleasure, and I'm sorry for your loss, but, you know, let me just say about your dad. I really feel that he's going to have a bigger influence on your life now that he's passed. And you know, you say that to people, and they're like, "How could you say something like that?" But I do, and if that hurts your feelings, I apologize, Missy. But I think he's
not at all
a bigger influence in your life now that he's passed than when he was alive. I feel that he probably wasn't as active in your life as he should have been, as active in your life as you would have liked him to have been, as active in your life as he wishes he would have been. And I think, unfortunately, now that he's pissed, he realizes that on the other side. And I think that on the other side, he feels sorry that he wasn't a bigger part of your life. Well, what do you feel about that?
I think that is totally, it just nails it. Like, you know, he wasn't really around much. But I don't know, it just kind of, you can almost feel like that he's around. And I don't know, I've had like some weird things happening. Like,
well, let me ask you a question. Now that he's pissed, do you feel more connected to him than you did when he was alive?
I do, yeah, that's the word. It's definitely more of a, yeah, it's like a security feeling, you know?
Yeah. You're going to feel that, and I don't know what I told you when I spoke to you, because since I've spoken to you, I've probably given 50 or 100 readings.
Right. Powerful psychic, by the way, giving you more props out there on the air tonight.
Thank you. I do appreciate that. Thank you. But what it's important for you to do is to recognize the energy of your dad, okay? And a way to do that, and now, I'm speaking to everybody who's listening to this now, not just the caller. What I want you to do is rub your hands together really, really hard, really fast, and get that.
Yeah, you told me that technique.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, but this is what I want you to do, and I'm telling this to everybody. When you want to feel the spirit that's around you, okay, and put your hands just an arm's length away and feel that energy. Okay, you need to recognize that energy of your father when you feel he's around. Remember that energy, because that's how you're going to know he's around you all the time, because the energy is always going to feel the same. It will never, ever, ever feel different, okay?
So that's
coming around, and I feel that you probably have done that, and you are very in tune with that energy at this point. Would I be safe to say that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's definitely the word I would use is like a connected feeling. Like, it's like, more so than I've had a couple deaths in my life so far, but I would say with that one, I would definitely say it's just very strong, which is weird because we had no really sense of relationship, you know, when he was in human form. So it's kind of crazy to feel that now, and it's very powerful, very connected. So I think he's definitely...
It is powerful. It is very powerful, and the shame of it is for your dad, who is now in spirit. You know, once they pass over and they realize, they have to make peace with themselves when they pass over, okay? And
he had a lot to do over there.
Yeah, he had a lot to do, and he knows that.
I'm sorry.
He realizes that, and it's kind of sad, actually, to think that, you know, your dad had to pass for him to get close to you. It's a crazy thought, but that's, unfortunately, that happens so many times, and I give so many readings to people, and a lot of that, they're more connected now to a loved one that has passed than they were in life. And you want to know why that is? It's because the loved one that has passed is sending you that love, because they feel like they need to make up for not giving it to you when they were alive. And they feel like shit about it. Believe me, your father feels bad that he didn't show you as much as he should have when he was around. Okay? And
right.
His way of making it up to you. And you're going to be surprised at the messages you're going to get. See, you're very intuitive, okay? You have that whole third eye thing going where you're very intuitive. You're very in tune with spirit around you. You're very empathic. You are that type of person. And that's going to help you connect with your dad so much more than somebody who isn't as in tune, someone who isn't as empathic, you know, intuitive and stuff like that. That's a really cool thing.
Yeah, I saw this shadow, like, race across the floor the other night. I was like, oh, my gosh. I thought it was my son, and I went out to the living room, and he was just chilling on the couch. I was like, what was that? Like, I got out the sage stick, man. I was like...
Well, See, you have a whole other thing going on where you live, because I feel like there's a lot of negativity in that whole little area that you live in, and you're someone who needs to contain sage and orange peel.
Oh, and you were right. Let me tell you real quick. You were right. I am moving east. California is the state.
All right. Damn, I'm pretty good, huh?
Yeah, you said east, and it was definitely east, so and that's another question, like, honestly, like, I feel so connected, like, I mean, I live in Hawaii, one of the best places in the world, but it's like, honestly, like, I feel like California sounds nice, but it's kind of in between. Do you think that would be good for, like, progression and just...
I love it, and you're gonna love it, so that's not a
California.
Way I
have.
California dream, and here you come. Well, I'm going to have to say goodbye now. I only have 5 minutes left to the show, and I wanted to answer another question that was sent in to me. And thank you so much for calling in again. I appreciate it. You've called in, I think, 2 months in a row now.
I know. Yeah, thanks for your time. It's very powerful.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And listen, you have a great night.
Okay, you guys too. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, Steph.
Alrighty, next question we have. If there's anyone who wants to call, we have 5 minutes left, 504-273-7379. In the interim, you have a question from Francesca. And the question is, was there ever a time that you gave a message to someone that you wish you were wrong?
All the time. Wow, that is a great question. So many times. Oh, God, let me think of... I'll tell you one story real fast, okay? This is really powerful, and this is something that has stayed with me. This probably happened about 7 years ago, and this is when I started really getting good at being psychic and really good at getting messages and not doubting myself whatsoever, and just knowing that the messages coming through were so strong and so real and so right. This is something I will never, ever forget. I was working, years ago I used to work as a vendor. I had vendors, disabled veterans that worked in for me, and they were selling merchandise and whatnot. And this girl came over to the stand and wanted to buy something. And I heard my spirit guide, Edward Pace, and he speaks with a very southern accent. He said to me, "Chris, really, that girl's going to die." And I was like, "What?" He says, "Yeah, you have to tell her she's going to die." I said, "I can't tell her that. You know, that's, I can't do it, you know?" And he says, "You could be a hero." You know what? And when he said that to me, just hearing that southern accent, the way I hear it in my head, it just kind of made me laugh. And I realized that I'm out there with, you know, millions of people in Manhattan walking around, and I'm just like giggling to myself like a, you know, I don't know what. And I said, "Okay, I guess I'm going to tell her. If you have to give me more information, I can't just tell her she's going to die." And that's when my spirit guide started giving me the information. I went over to her, and I introduced myself, and I told her, I said to her, "Are you fighting with your boyfriend?" And she said, "Well, who are you?" And I said, "Well, some people kind of think I'm psychic, and, you know, it's very hard to go up to somebody and tell them that you're psychic, you know, they think you're crazy." And so I said, "I'm being told by my guides that if you go see your boyfriend tonight, he's going to kill you. You're going to die." And she kind of looked at me like I would expect her to look at me, and she called me a few choice words. And again, I don't blame her, because, see, I'm just some random guy coming up to her in Manhattan. I think some crazy dude, and I'm telling her she's going to die. And I wanted to be wrong. And she basically called me this, that, and the other thing, and I said, "Well, listen, just remember I told you this. Let one of your friends know I said it. I'm sorry, I was an ass. I shouldn't have said anything. Have a nice night." And I walked away from her. Next day comes, and I'm thinking to myself, all day I'm thinking to myself, I'm calling out to my guides, is she alive, is she alive, is she alive? Nothing is coming to me, and that kind of, like, bothered me, because I couldn't get the message that I wanted. And what happened was, a girl came over to me about 5 o'clock, and she said, "Are you Christopher?" And I said, "Yes, I am." She said, "You told my friend that she was going to die last night." And I got this feeling that came over me. I said, "Oh, my God, she's dead." And she said, I said, "Did she die last night?" And she says, "No, she didn't." And, like, this feeling of calm came over me. But you know what? That was soon to leave, because she says, "No, she didn't die last night. She did go see her boyfriend. He shot her in the neck. And she died this morning, in the hospital. And I felt so horrible, and I wanted to be wrong. And you know what? I make a living on being right. But there are so many times that I just wish that I was wrong, because, you know, sometimes I tell people horrible things and that I don't want to tell them, but they ask me, and I tell them that I want to be wrong. And this was one time that I really wish I was wrong, because, you know, and we're going to be talking about free will on Second Sight coming soon. You know, she had free will to listen to me or not to listen to me. She chose not to. If she would have chose to listen to me, she would probably be alive today. And that's one instance that I definitely wish I was wrong. How much time do I have left, Steph?
You have no time left.
Oh,
I think this is it for you. We'll save these questions for next time.
Okay, yeah, well, I have a bunch more that people sent me anyway. Anyway, you guys are listening to 107.9 on UPRN out of New Orleans. I'm psychic medium Christopher George. Thank you so much for listening tonight. I hope you learned a little something. My website is secondsightnyc.com, and my fan page on Facebook is Psychic Medium Christopher George. And just so you know, if you go to the fan page and like it and share it, I pick one or two people every month to give a free reading to. So maybe you'll be the lucky winner. Everybody, you know, believe you can, and you're halfway there. Good night, and I'll see you next month.
Yes, good afternoon, David. Just fine, thank you. Is it all right now to start our interview? I'm so pleased and honored to be interviewing you this, what is for you, late afternoon of September 7th, 2012. I'm speaking from Colorado, so there's a bit of a time difference, and that's why we're pre-recording earlier today.
From some of our episode of The Dawn of Shades, Genius Scavenger, let's take that off. Right, tonight is September 4th, 2012, and I'd like to welcome everybody who's listening live on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. Tonight I have a couple of really special guests with us. Gian has sort of been doing some agricultural type of stuff, and we've been doing the Native American series, and since she decided to take the night off, since she wasn't feeling well, we're just going to go right back to the paranormal. And I would like to welcome our guests from Casper Paranormal to the Dawn of Shades program. And guys, I just want to kind of...